Ooh. Yes. Carrying by the Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert. Jesus started his suffering for the dominion and the defeat of the world and all workings of Satan for you and I. And there he grabbed the horns of the altar in the desert for the first time for you and for me and for the world. 40 days and 40 nights without food, without water. He laid his body there and said, whatever, or Satan, attack me. And he travailed in pain and woe 40 days and 40 nights under the full fury of the temptation of Satan. Everything that Satan could put against him or against the world. And he absorbed Satan into his body. A body that had been without sin. A body without stain, without blemish. A body that had walked in complete obedience to the Father, breathing the Spirit of grace. But there he took in upon his body all the sufferings and lashings of Satan that could come against you and against me and against the world, and absorbed them into his body. Suffering in love, he held on the horns of the altar, and he overcame and cast Satan from him, one demon at a time, and destroyed him, or took dominion over him. And coming out of the wilderness for you and for me, with full dominion over Satan. But he kept in his body and in his mind and his soul. He kept there the remnants or the specks or the dust of his suffering to be glorified later for you and I to enter in to his body. And there the remnants of these sufferings used by the Holy Ghost would scrub you and I from all our ways and our little picky things and all our ideas. As you entered him and he scrubbed you and scrubbed you, there began to move a weeping of love because of the things that he had done for you and had delivered you from.
Suffered 40 days overcame him for me. Oh, the horns of the altar in the days of the law were a place of travail, pain and woe, where our father's people repented in strong vows and held on strongly till forgiveness came. But my loving Jesus, my Father's creature of grace, gripped all the horns of the altar in my in suffering and death, to the horns he held on, till in love and grace all my needs were
won. Then our Lord Jesus grabbed the horns of the altar in suffering for the second time in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Father had spoken his will to him and said, "You can't leave out one of the people down through the ages." He said, "Every jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled. If you leave out one person, then the covenant will be of no effect. Because if you leave out one person, then it will make us a respecter of persons, and it will destroy all of your sufferings. So we must gather together all our people, all the Old Testament and all the future people of ours, and suffer for the world, even though they may not accept it." And Jesus, of course, wanting to be obedient, as it is written in the scriptures and in the wind, asked this question: "How will I know when the suffering is completed?" Now the Father said, "You suffer, and I'll suffer with you. And we'll gather together all the people from Genesis all the way through to the new creation, to the end of the world, or forever and ever." And there in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience, grabbed the horns of the altar again, and fulfilling what the scriptures had said, "While the world sleepeth, and they knoweth not, the Lord God cometh upon them in glorious redemption." Who? Also fulfilling that, we see the disciples went to sleep, even as you and I were sleeping, not yet born. And the Old Testament people were sleeping in death. But there in the Garden of Gethsemane, in loneliness and solitude, with great quiet cries, sweat, tears, and blood. He filled to the full satisfaction of our Father and gathered together in his body through prayer and travailing, holding on to the horns of the altar, and gathered together in his body, you and I, and all down through the ages. While his disciples were yet sleeping, the Old Testament people sleeping in death, and you and I sleeping, not yet born. But inside of his suffering body were preserved the remnants, or the little dust particles, of that suffering, that the Holy Ghost might scrub it in you when you entered him. And using that sand or those dust particles, or the scrubbing of his suffering and knowledge, then in weeping and in love, it might make you a fit vessel of his grace. In this way, he could move you through being perfected in love. Ooh, move you and I and be perfected in love and weeping and grace without the suffering. Ooh.
In the garden of Gethsemane, he grabbed the horns again. In travail and prayer, he in love held on. In agony and pain, tears, sweat, and blood, in love he held the horns, till in grace I was won. Oh, the horns of the altar, in the days of love, were a place of travail, pain, and woe, where our Father's people repented. Forgiveness came, but my loving Jesus, my Father's creature of grace, gripped all the horns of the altar in my place. In suffering and death, to the horns he held on, still in love and grace, all my needs were won.
Then on the cross, fully filling our Father's law of sacrifice, that a substitute must be given in suffering for people's sins. There he absorbed in his body, in love, all the sins, sicknesses, all the workings of Satan, of yours and mine, and in the whole world. Absorbed them into his body, and in darkness, suffering, crying, and travail, tied to the horns of the altar this time. But by this time he was so perfected in the power and the dominion of the covenants of our Father that he could have come down from that cross. And he could have, by his acts of faith, healed his body and went about his business. But in the garden he had perfected himself in love and grace for you and I. So in the horns of the altar, on the cross, he held on in love and grace for you and I and the whole world, and carried them down to death and struck them dead. Also gathering in his body the specks of his suffering, the dust of his suffering, to be glorified by the Holy Ghost and used later on when you entered him to perfect you in love and weeping and grace instead of in pain and travail. Ooh.
On the cross, in agony, he grabbed the horns again. In pain and suffering, darkness and woe you see. Crying in anguish, his hands in love held on, till in sorrow he died, grace suffering for me. Oh, the horn of the altar in the days of the law, were a place of travail, pain and woe, where our Father's repented in strong vows and held on strongly till forgiveness came. But my loving Jesus, my Father's creature of grace, gripped on in my place, in suffering and death, to the horns he held on, till in love and grace all my needs were won. Thank you.
Then, the fourth time, he grabbed the horn and suffering was in the heavens. You remember after his resurrection, he appeared in the garden to Mary and he told her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." And then afterwards, when he appeared to the disciples in the upper room, he told Thomas and the others, said, "Go ahead and touch me in my hand, feel the nail scar in my hand, a spear slash in my side." Ooh. Well, the reason he told Mary to touch him not is because that in order to deliver humanity from judgment, in order to let people touch him to receive their needs in his resurrection, he had to care the blood. Because not only did he have to change the earth and take dominion over Satan and earth, but he had to change heaven. So he had to carry the blood into the holiest of all in heaven, to change heaven and make a new heaven. Because all those three sufferings would have been somewhat useless. Even though they purchased for us eternal life, they'd have been somewhat useless had he not chosen to suffer four more times and change heaven so it would be a heaven of grace instead of a heaven of judgment under the law. So carrying his blood, as Paul said, into the heavens, into the holiest of all, there before the fire of the Father in the holiest of all, through which you and I would have had to pass to enter heaven, there he had the blood offered right before the Father God. And as the Father God looked at it, he grabbed the horns again, there being burned and scorched by the judgment of the fire of heaven that had been chosen to purify you and I as we entered heaven. Ooh, agonizing and travailing, he held on until the blood was accepted. And the fire of the wrath of God against you and I through his suffering, was changed from wrath to the fire of love. So that when you enter heaven, either in death or through your visitations that you go, you now find it a place of love and grace. The fire of God burning in you in love and grace. Ooh. Now also he gathered inside of his body the little specks of that suffering. Ooh. To be used later on in your and my life by the Holy Ghost to scrub us in weeping and in love. To scrub us free of our old ways, to leave us to where we could be perfected in him in love and weeping instead of suffering.
In the heavenly temple, in the holiest of all, he grabbed the horns, prostrate fall. In love he did suffer till his was accepted. In the heavenly temple, grace and love reign for me. Oh, the horns of the altar in the days of love were a place of travail, pain and woe, where our Father's people repented in strong vows and held on strongly till forgiveness came. But loving Jesus, my Father's creature of grace, ripped all the horns of the altar in my place. In suffering and death, to the horns he held on, till in love and grace all my needs were won.
Next, before the throne of God, where there is an altar of our Father, where of the Old Testament, a place where you would have to come if it had not been changed, and where all the Old Testament saints would have had to come before God, and there you would have all everything burned off you from your personal life that was not suitable to God for heaven. So he went there before the throne for your personal life and grabbed the horns of the altar again in heavenly fire and suffered and suffered, and he invited the heavenly fire to come on him, to burn him in your place and in all the place of the people of the world. And it burned him, and it burned him, and it burned him, and he held on and suffered as only heavenly fire and judgment can cause you to suffer. Ooh. Held on and suffered so that that throne before God would not be a place of pain and travail and loss of reward, but would be a place that you and I could come to receive grace and love of God, our Father. By that time, there was nothing left of him but a form. All he had still in his life, all he had left, was that shell that you see. A shell filled with the Father God. Ooh, but a shell also filled with the particles of his suffering and glorified love, so that you and I can receive, instead of in suffering, we can receive in weeping and love and grace. Ooh.
In the heavenly temple, where the sacrifice burns, in the heavenly temple, reserved for me. He grabbed the fire of heaven became fire and grace for me.
Again, in the inner court, where the fire, heavenly fire of God, burned on the law to judge and perfect you, where you and I could take our place in heaven, he suffered. He grabbed the horns of the altar and suffered again. Now, why must he suffer in the inner court in heaven? Because one of the laws of our Father, of the law of righteousness, is that the sins and disobedience of the parents that they imparted to their children because of their disobedience must be paid for by the parents, even to the third generation. You remember that? Your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Our Father, being a just God, said, I cannot allow anyone that gets trapped in disobedience caused by others and caused by their parents. I cannot allow them to suffer alone. They must suffer for their sins only. They must suffer for their disobedience only. Ooh. So Jesus grabbed the horns of the altar again. For the children to the third generation, for you and the sins you'd have to suffer for them. And he held on so that you'd not have to pay for your mistakes with your children. Ooh.
Out before the throne, where fire and terror reign, the heavenly horns of suffering he grabbed again. In terror and anguish he overcame judgment again, and changed altar to a place of grace and love for me. Oh, the horns of the altar in the days of the law were a place of travail, pain and woe. Where are Father's people repented in strong vow and held on strongly till forgiveness came? Ooh, but Jesus, my Father's creature of grace, gripped all the horns of the altar in my place. In suffering and death, to the horns he held on. Till in love and grace all my needs were won.
By that time, filled with a heavenly love, Father of our Father God, only his outer skin was left. This was all he had to offer, was his outer skin and his being. But he had to fulfill another law of our Father that said, even down to the end of the world, your acts of disobedience and your testimonies that people inherit down to the end of the world must be paid for. So carrying that outer skin of his, which meant the outer corridor down into the ages or eternity, but carrying that to the outer court for future generations, you and I of the new creation coming in earth, there he invited all the judgments of the world and all the judgment of Satan and his fire that he could bring on the world to attack him for you and I down at the end of the age. And he grabbed the horns of the altar and he held on. And he held on and he suffered. Ooh, for we see it written in the life of Paul. He said the only way that the new creation be saved down at the end of the age is for me to gather together a bride in earth of righteous souls, that I can have a place prepared for them where they can enter into full grace. And also the plan of God called for that people in earth, you and I, must not judge, that vengeance belonged unto the Lord. So Jesus, in his sufferings, gathered together a council of the righteous souls of the Old Testament and the righteous souls of the New Testament to set them to where he judged, but the council could sit in judgment. Paul said this when he said, filling up that which is behind in the sufferings of Christ. He received knowledge of vision of Christ out in the outer court, suffering those many long years until it was completed into the plan of our Father. Because the Father said, to bring my plan to perfection, I'll plant a garden east and water it with my tears. And Jesus said, there's one thing I can't stand, Father. I can't stand to hear you cry, so I'll cry with you. And there in the outer court for many years, until Garden of Eden was planting. He suffered until he appeared there on the Isle of Patmos to John and declared, "Grace is finished." And John walked into the heavens and he saw seven horns. Ooh. But in that body standing there is the whirlwind filled with those particles of suffering. Standing right before you now is that resurrected, glorified Jesus that hath finished all, shining with the fire and glory of the heavens, ready for you to enter and let him scrub you clean with that weeping of heavenly love. All these sufferings in your eternity to bring you into a place of dominion and power over all the workings of judgment that can come against you in this world. Oh, now all of you that want to accept this, just lift your hands, close your eyes, and say, "Lord Jesus, I accept right there before me is your glorified, resurrected body, head and hair and white as wool, white as snow, garment all the way down to the foot, and your whole body shining like the sun in a noonday strength, mixed with fire and glory. And I accept that my whole body, my whole soul, and my whole being hath been placed upon your suffering body in love, hath been placed upon your body of fire and glory, and has been absorbed into your body. Now just feel the Holy Ghost baptize you right into his body and feel him clothe back down upon you and saturate you with the life of his resurrection." Ooh.
In the outer court of heaven, where Satan possessed, he grabbed horns of the court and in love held on. Satan and his demons again attacked him with his demons and fire. In love and grace, he changed the age for me. Now all may rest in the heavenly Eden of peace, eating the tree of life in the river of his love, lying down in green pastures, eating his life. Because of his suffering that freed us from Satan's lie. Oh, the horns of the altar in the days of the law were a place of travail, pain and woe, where our Father's people repented in strong vows and held on strongly my Father's creature of grace. Ripped off the horns of the altar, in my place. In suffering and death, to the horns he held on. Till in love and grace all my needs were won.
Now let's get a further understanding of this in the order of God. When Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord and were deceived by Satan and overcome, God wept. But his sobs closed up the Garden of Eden, and he pronounced judgment. He said, "It is my law that any time anyone makes a covenant or an agreement with my enemy, Satan, then they lose my blessing. And they must suffer under his dominion, and he has the right to bring his iniquity to the fullness in them or in their race all to the end of the age." Now you find out that not only the descendants of Adam have made a league with Satan, have made a covenant with him, agreement with him, but you find all the descendants in the world, whether they are black, white, yellow, or whatnot, have agreed with Satan to serve him in falseness and religion, to serve him in their own way instead of the true and the living God. And all over the world, iniquity under Satan has come to its fullness. But Jesus, through that suffering in the outer court, removed that curse of our descendants from Adam, or of our descendants from any of our forefathers' disobedience, so that we could enter in to the fullness of power and the possession of the earth under the new creation, delivered up to God our Father for his blessings. Blessings and grace to flow in the earth, rivers, yea, oceans of living water. Earth to become, though it a desert, to become a veritable Garden of Eden for all nations, so that he can make of one blood all people, his blood, God's blood, our Lord Jesus' blood.
Religion and war, listen to me carefully while I tell you the score. All your have been judged and cast down. Soon all of his suffering will be your fire of death. For the horns of the altar in the days of the law were a place of travail and woe, where our father's people repented in strong vows and held on strongly till forgiveness came. But my loving Jesus, my Father's creature of grace, ripped all the horns of the altar in my place. In suffering and death, to the horns he held on, till in love and grace all my needs were won. All you horns of power, religion and war, listen to me carefully while I tell you the score. Because of his victory, you don't have a chance. Soon the judgment fires of heaven shall be listen again, and let me make it plain. The only way to escape judgment and pain is to turn from your way and now repent, and let the pain he suffered, oh, the horns of the altar in the days of the law, were a place of travail, pain and woe, where our father's people repented in strong vows and held on strongly till forgiveness came. But my loving Jesus, my Father, creature of grace, gripped all the horns of the altar in my place. In suffering and death, to the horns he held on. Till in love and grace, all my needs were written in the wind, changed the world for me. That grace may reign for whosoever will. But fire for you if you do your own will.
In suffering and death,
to the horns he held on, till in love and grace all my needs were one.